don't have any stress with your next move. And that is very hard to do, but they do it, man. They are efficient. They are fair. Their pricing is terrific. They get the job done. There is no job that I've ever asked them to do that they did not do to the utmost in terms of quality and customer service. That's what Tiger Moving gives you. Start the process with an email, tigermoving@gmail.com, and also get in touch with them or look at what they can provide you. Look at the reviews online at tigermovinggreenville.com. A couple other things, you know, from Davos' press conference, Haynes King. Talking about Haynes King, he said, this is an interesting quote. I can't remember the question that was asked, but his answer was in part, quote, "It's hard to make them wrong because he's equipped to make them right." Now, that's one of those things that, like, the preacher says it and then looks at you. Like, did you hear what I just said? That's a great sentence. It's hard to make them wrong because he's equipped to make them right. And I was trying to think, and then he gave a much longer, more detailed answer, but I kind of was like, what exactly does that mean? What exactly is he talking about? And the more he talked, the more it became clear to me that what Dabo's basically saying is there are plays off of plays, but sort of the base play is Haynes King doesn't give the ball to anyone, and he just gets as many yards as he can. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Like, he's equipped to make them right because if you blow up every part of the play, you can't tackle him all the time. He's difficult to account for. And so he keeps them with the chains, and he keeps the drive alive and all this stuff. And I think that's what he's going for with that, Ben. And I think I believe him. I think he's right about Haynes King.
Well, King has multiple options, too. And you know, Sweeney talks about their offense much more in a triple option type discussion than – I was a little surprised at how far – He went with that. I mean, and it does present that way in a lot of ways. But, I mean, am I wrong that Coach Sweeney's thinking of them? There's a lot more triple option concepts. And,
yes.
And you almost have to prepare. I mean, we're saying the same stuff about this game this week that we were saying about Paul Johnson teams.
It's sort of like, you know, RPO sort of started, I'm sure, with somebody sitting around, Chip Kelly or somebody sitting around going, well, if you can do a triple option and your all three options are behind the quarterback, what happens if your third option is a slant? Mm. Or what happens if your third option is a tunnel screen or a bubble screen or something like that? What happens? And the reality is it's exactly the same. And so a lot of modern football is sort of a triple option approach. The RPO game is a triple option approach, especially for teams that also have the option to let the quarterback keep it. You know, you're going to hate that I bring this up, Ben. One of the weaknesses of the NCAA football video game is that in the RPO game, I can't keep the ball my quarterback. I have to choose to give it to the back or I have to hit the button of the receiver. And there are a lot of times where I'm like, well, they're both covered, but my quarterback can run for days. So I'd like for my quarterback to just keep the ball and run. And if somebody knows how to do that, if you figured out how to do that, just I'm not even talking. There's some plays that do that. Yes, I'm talking about from an RPO standpoint. Just let your boy know because I could use that. The old offense is on the struggle bus right now. Point being, I do think that when all else fails, that Haynes King is the factor. He is the factor for Georgia Tech. And it's interesting what he said about Cade Klubnik in contrast to that. He was asked, I think Larry Williams asked him this, you know, Cade, with his legs, did you think that he would be more of a factor with his legs? And it's interesting, he said he's been too much of a factor with his legs. So Haynes King, he says, it's hard to make him wrong because he's equipped to make him right, and you're talking about run game. You're talking about when everything's taken away, he just, like, goes forward and just, like, gets him some yards or whatever. And then with Cade, he says, nah, he's been too much of a factor with his legs. And I know what he's saying. I got to be honest, though. I feel like Cade needs to be more effective with his legs. I agree with Larry on this. And Dabo is not saying we don't want Cade to run at all. He is saying what he's doing right now is running at the wrong times.
Right, right.
That's really what he's saying. He's just saying it in a way that makes it seem like we would prefer him to be a statue back there.
Yeah, well, he's been too much of a factor because of that, because he's run when he's not supposed to run. And, you know, in that third – there was one pass there in the Troy game where, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you got to – the pocket's collapsing. You got to run. And he stayed in there. It might have been the throw to the touchdown to Wesco there where he stayed in there and just launches it and good things happen. You know, if you run there, yeah, still a good play. I mean, you go 4 or 5 yards, but you stay in the pocket through a touchdown.
That's right. That's right. And I do think somehow Cade getting comfortable, when he's comfortable, he's able to sit in the pocket and do those things. It's sort of the catch-22 of, like, he's not comfortable till he sits in the pocket and does what you're describing, but also he's inclined when he's not comfortable to bail on the pocket, so he doesn't really give that play a chance. It's interesting how that works, the sort of circular logic and the circular reasoning. Texter says this version of the Georgia Tech triple option much more exciting to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, to an extent, the Paul Johnson triple option was, to me, was very exciting to watch when it worked.
Yes. Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
When it didn't work, Josh Nesbitt and Jonathan Dwyer and those people.
Yeah, when it didn't work, it was terrible to watch.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, when they had cheat codes back there, we're like four dudes playing in the NFL that were back there in the backfield. Yeah, it was great. And Bebe Thomas on the outside. Roddy Jones, when we had Roddy Jones on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about that 2019, and I was like, oh, my Lord. I forgot. Just, oh, it's Bebe Thomas, my first-round pick and receiver. Oh, man. That makes the offense look a whole lot better.
How long was Coach Sweeney's press conference today? The typical 45?
It was about 45, I think, maybe 46.
They try to hold it right there at 45. Take a guess how long Brent Keyes was.
I'm going to say, okay, wait a minute. All right, you're asking me that for a reason. I'm going to say 4 minutes and 55 seconds.
You are very close.
Really?
His whole press conference was less than 6 minutes.
Are you kidding?
Reporter said that he – and in that period of time, he fielded 15 to 20 questions.
No, he did not.
And he just gave – yeah, I will – maybe we might play a little bit of that in a minute, but or later on. But, yeah, he is all business apparently. I don't know what to make of it. That's
Ben,
funny.
I know what to make of it.
I love it.
I know it's amazing. It's awesome.
I know.
It's awesome. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. The Grambling head coach talking about the bands.
Yeah.
The filibuster, you know, the long answer. Well, our band's good and their band's good. You know, that kind of stuff, like joking in a press conference. You know you're about to get drilled. Mike Gundy talking about how much money Oregon's roster. You know you're about to get drilled. Saying nothing at all for a guy who doesn't mind doing a – bit of a longer breath, longer than 6 minutes. Ben, he's all business. Oh, my gosh. That's terrifying. Truly, I'm positive he deadpanned every question. I bet he didn't crack a smile.
Nope.
I'm not even sure he swayed from side to side. I bet he stood at that podium and he grabbed both sides and he didn't move for 6 minutes and then he left.
Did his best Bill Belichick.
God, terrifying. Honestly, it kind of makes me want to pick Georgia Tech to win. I'll be honest with you.
Because of the length of the press conference?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, quack.
Brent Key knows what he's got, man.
So let me just to summarize, you like Clemson because of something that happened in 2011, and you like Georgia Tech because of the length of a press conference.
You know, more specifically.
That's what you get here on the show,
more
folks.
Specifically, I like Clemson because of what I haven't seen yet. And I like Georgia Tech because of what I just saw in the press conference.
Another way of saying that is I don't like Clemson because of what I have seen.
That's true. That's a great point. That's a great point. I do think for Brent Key, like, it doesn't do him – if he thinks there's a stealth attack here, if he thinks he's got a good enough football team, offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're good enough to win, don't say anything. I mean, how many – I'm trying to think. There was an example the other day where I was like, why would you say that in a press conference? Well, honestly, this is not the example I was thinking of, but it's what people said about Thomas Castellanos. If your team is good enough, don't alert Alabama. Don't draw more attention to Alabama, on Alabama's side, to the fact that you're good enough. Hope that they don't recognize and they show up. That's kind of what I'm thinking about Brent Key here, that he's not giving away a single solitary thing about this matchup because he thinks they can win it. And it would be foolish to make sure Clemson is totally dialed for this game. If there's a chance they might not be, you'd be an idiot to wake them up. An idiot. And Brent Key is not an idiot. Okay, let me ask you this about Brent Key. I was actually thinking about this when I was asking Dabo, and I knew I was going to ask him about his relationship with Brent Key today, because Brent Key is new age Dabo, interim coach. Everyone's like, he's a placeholder.
Yeah,
they'll hire somebody else in a couple years, and he's trying to do it. There are a lot of coaches in this conference that feel like they're not going anywhere, and they're going to have success where they are. Like, more than normal in a coaching, just in a cycle of coaching. Like, I don't think Jeff Brohm is leaving Louisville. I don't think Brent Key is leaving Georgia Tech. I don't think Mario Cristobal is leaving Miami. I don't think Dabo is leaving Clemson. I don't think Bill O'Brien is leaving Boston College. I'll be honest with you. Like, he's lived up there before. I think he's comfortable there. I may change my mind on that. But I was thinking about it. Like, if you're Virginia, let's say Virginia Tech. I don't want to do that to Tony because they actually play pretty well on Saturday, I think. But let's say Virginia Tech, and you're thinking about maybe making a move on your coach. You might make the calculation that, you know what, if Manny Diaz leaves Duke, they might make a worse hire. And we can make a good hire now, and if they make a worse hire, we're better than Duke. You might make that calculation. But if Jeff Brohm's not leaving Louisville, and Brent Key's not leaving Georgia Tech, and Mario Cristobal's not leaving Miami, and Dabo's not leaving Clemson, I'm leaving Mike Norvell out on purpose because I still don't know what the heck Florida State's doing year over year or how they feel about him or how he feels about them. I don't have any – so I'm not saying him on purpose. I feel like those situations are set for sure. Maybe Dave Doran at NC State, because maybe they're just fine going 7-5 till they figure out NIL. Like, if Will Wade wins at basketball, they're going to be mad about it. I just think we're at an interesting point in the ACC where, like, you have coaches who are having success who feel like they are totally in for what the program they're at right now is doing.
They do have some good fits in place. I'll give you that. Brent Key is a good fit for Georgia Tech for many reasons. From that standpoint, I would agree with you.
I think he's a really good coach. I think he's doing a really good job at Georgia Tech.
I do too.
Because he took over was 73-7 and 52-14 or whatever. I mean, that's the kind of program he took over, and he's done a really good. I hesitate to put too much on it because I did look back at it and like he's 14-12 the last 2 years. He's 16-12 as a head coach at Georgia Tech. This is a Georgia Tech program that before a couple of Paul Johnson years and before Jeff Collins, they had the nation's longest active bowl streak at one point. I think going to bowls at Georgia Tech is like, yeah, it feels like a miracle based on the Jeff Collins era, but it shouldn't be that hard to go to bowls at Georgia Tech. But I do think he's doing a good job. I think he's doing a really, really good job. Text from the 864 says Clemson will be Georgia Tech's first competition in the three games they've played. You know, I think Colorado is not a bad on the road, game one, brand new defensive coordinator. I think that's a decent test for them. It's not LSU. Don't get me wrong.
There's a lot of unknowns in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Brand new everywhere for Colorado. New coordinator on the defensive side. Obviously, quarterback's not there. Best receiver's not there.
Talent-wise, I don't think Colorado's a very good team. But I could see how that would be a tough game. That's still a good win.
It's a solid win.
Yeah.
It's a solid win. 6-5-4 roars the number. Oh, Texas points out they had three. They turned over their first three series and still won a game. So they overcame some stuff in that game. So, I think it's beneficial there. Although, Clemson will be by far the best team that they've faced on both sides of the ball. And special teams, as it were, which Dabo pointed out. He said, don't throw away your headlines. I thought that was my favorite moment of the whole press conference, Ben, when he was like, don't throw away your headlines about punter. Y'all just begging for Jack Smith to shank once. Use your headline. He said, maybe you'll need him at some point, but not today.
My favorite Dabo-ism today was, oh my goodness, hang on, stand by. He said, this group hasn't had the rat poisoning. They've just had the you suck poisoning.
So basically, we're all drinking poison. It's just which poison are you drinking? That's optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, if you thought Dabo was an optimist, wait till you hear that Dabo thinks we're all drinking poison every day. We're all drinking some kind of poison. Oh, that's funny.
Can't wait for the Bro Bible story about Dabo suggests he's going to poison his team.
Dabo with a disturbing admission. Stay with us. We'll talk more about this game, but we'll talk more Dabo Swinney press conference. We'll get to some of our pick'em games, too. I got some thoughts on some of our pick'em games from last week we got to get to. Stay with us. Hour 3 of the program continues right after this.
What would you do if you had a little bit more money to do it?
I'd go to law school.
I'd open a bakery.
I'd travel to visit my grandparents I haven't seen in 10 years.
We all have things we want to do in life, and there are people who want to help you do them. So how do we best ask for that help? GoFundMe. GoFundMe is the number one fundraising platform. 200 million people have used GoFundMe to support people doing things like furthering their education, starting a small business, or bringing people together in support of a cause. No matter what your goals are, GoFundMe helps you take an important step toward them. GoFundMe is free to set up and manage, easy to use, and designed to help you reach your goals.
The community was so supportive in helping me finally open my bakery. Now every day I wake up and get to do what I love. And it all started with GoFundMe.
What would you do if you had the money to do it? Get started today with GoFundMe. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com/power. That's GoFundMe.com/power. GoFundMe.com/POWER. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe with actors voicing experiences inspired by our users.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
55 Beatty Place, Suite 900, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Scott Trout, licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Georgia only. CordellCordell.com.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
I need a good plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose Name is number one, Tom Plumber.
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters. Is your garage door opener broken? One of the most common issues we handle is garage doors that suddenly stop working. At American Doormasters, we diagnose and fix problems like broken springs, offering professional service at a great price. Serving the upstate of South Carolina, we provide top-quality garage door installation and repair. Whatever your needs, call American Doormasters today at 864-990-3075 for prompt and professional service.
Did you know the IRS is hiring thousands of new revenue officers, leading to more audits and levies? If you have outstanding taxes, these changes could bring added stress and trouble your way. Take action now before things get worse. Let David Green at Green Law Firm help you resolve your tax issues before the IRS comes knocking. Call Green Law Firm today at 864-271-7940. That's 864-271-7940. Or visit greenlaw.legal. Act now and enjoy peace of mind tomorrow.
At Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney, we carry Western and workwear, as well as boots for men, women, and children. We also carry clothes for tactical, fire retardant, nurses, hunting, shooting, and fishing gear and supplies. Looking for firearms or ammo? We have a large selection to choose from. Make Cherokee Outfitters your go-to store for everything outdoors. Visit us today at 370 Petroid Road, exit 90, on I-85.
Coach Saban here. On the field or on your walls, coverage matters. That's why I go with Behr Marquee Interior Paint and Primer from the Home Depot.
Exceptional hide, advanced stain blocking, and over 1,000 colors to choose from. Behr Marquee delivers one coat coverage that stands up to real life. One coat coverage, no overtime. Behr Marquee, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Behr Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Collection.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for football all season long.
This is big boy football.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
I've been down the Mississippi, down through New Orleans. Yes, I have.
William Blogger with Ben Milstead on a Tiger Tuesday. Thanks for joining us here on the program. You know, on Tuesdays, we thank Chick-fil-A of Clemson Seneca for providing lunch. That means that Ingles does not provide lunch on Tuesdays. But sometimes Ingles does provide lunch. I'll tell you what Ingles does provide is groceries, and I need some. Badly. For the remainder of this week, and Ingles is going to help me out with that. You know what Ingles also going to help me out with, Ben? Is I got to do volleyball today, and I'm not calling volleyball without a pumpkin spice latte. You bet your bottom dollar I'm getting one of those. I'm going to go in and get what I want from Ingles, and I'm taking that bad boy with me out the door. And we're going to be fully caffeinated for volleyball at Jervy Gym today.
We're in pumpkin spice season now, are
it's it gets earlier every year, Ben. Like Christmas, it gets earlier every year, but yes. And you know what? I know people talk about that with fall, but I say if it tastes good to you, just drink it all the time, all year round. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Here's the transition you were looking for, Quok. Ingles is the Chick-fil-A of grocery stores.
That's it.
That's a great one, Texter. Very good.
Thank you very much. Shout out to Chick-fil-A for lunch today. Let's talk about our contest games. We really haven't talked about it very much.
You know why? Because we sucked. We all sucked.
Oh, boy.
We don't really have to talk about them.
How many people – let's see. John was 5-4. Will Clayton was 6-3. Build that man a statue. Morgan was 5-4, and Ramona was 5-4, and the rest of us were under 500.
Oh, ooh,
buddy. That's rough.
Yeah,
the afternoon was 23-31. We were 8 games under 500.
We had a push in there with Iowa State, so.
God. That you know what? If there's one game that was going to push, it'd be Iowa State that every year feels like a 15-12 game. What a joke. What result stood out the most to you? What game was most interesting or most satisfying for you?
Most satisfying was South Florida, Florida, but that's – I'm gonna exclude that one from this conversation because that's the easy one. That's the, supposed David versus Goliath type of a thing. You're gonna always pull for that. I was satisfied that Oklahoma did exactly what I think everybody at our station thought was gonna happen to Michigan.
12-for-12.
Yeah, the game sort of played out that way. It was, man, had such a, it was a, such an entertaining game. Certainly had that big game feel. I took a lot of satisfaction in that. I might have been most disappointed with Kansas-Missouri.
Mm.
Because I, in my heart of hearts, Kansas is a better team than Missouri. They just are. They were not on Saturday, however.
Ben, I think the most impactful result in the whole day was Missouri-Kansas because I said this so much before the year that I did not trust Missouri no matter how easy that schedule was because they made an easy schedule look really difficult last year and had a worse football team. And I really believe that. And then they outgained Kansas. Ben, they outgained them by 341 yards in a game. They rushed for 261. They had 200-yard rushers. Bo Pribula goes 9 carries, 6 yards, and throws for 334 and 3 touchdowns. They abused Kansas in this game. They did not allow Jalen Daniels to run it. We talk about Jalen Daniels' Heisman campaign. That's over. Now, he accounted for 3 touchdowns, but he had 30 pass attempts plus rush attempts, 39 for 243 with 3 touchdowns and an interception. This was a sometimes we say, this game was closer than the score. This game was worse than the score. Missouri throttled Kansas, down for down, play for play. And I'm not sure I realized it in the moment. Missouri in the second half, what was the time of possession in the second half? They just had the ball the whole second half.
Yeah.
They had the ball for 40 minutes and 27 seconds in the game. Let me find it. I saw a second half number somewhere. Oh, it was actually the first half. Missouri had the ball almost 22 minutes in the first half. They ran 45 plays in the first half to Kansas's 20. I got to get – if Bo Pribula is going to throw the ball like that, I will happily reassess Missouri and give them a couple extra wins and give them a few more flowers, as the kids say.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right.
I was disappointed with Kansas, though, because they had opportunities. You get a turnover in the first half. By Missouri, you get the fumble, and I think, did they run it in? I think they ran it in for a touchdown. I think they scored on it. Or they scored really fast. Something happened there. To me, like, Kansas scores on a safety with the punt situation. And at that point, I really thought, okay, well, Kansas being opportunistic here, this is the kind of game where, like, yeah, Missouri's driving the ball a little bit, but Kansas can be able to take advantage. They could not get off the field. They forced 2 punts the whole game. Kansas did. And I don't worry about that so much in Big 12 play, because I'm looking around at the Big 12 and I'm going, none of y'all play defense really. So Kansas will be fine. But against good defensive teams, I worry about Kansas' defense not holding up. I do like Kansas. I do. But I was concerned about that. On the South Florida-Florida game, I've no idea what to do with the information that I got from South Florida and Florida. Florida possessed the ball. There were 7 possessions in the first half. Like, no one had the ball ever. Florida kicks 3 field goals. They kick field goals on all of their possessions in the first half. They have and this is the kind of thing, like, if I was watching the game in real time, I would say, this is how you lose, this is how you lose, this is how you lose. But it's not like South Florida was taking advantage. This is a real drive chart summary of this game, okay? Florida gets the ball after South Florida punts after a 9-play drive. They punt. Florida gets the ball on the 10. 14 plays, 81 yards, 6-12, field goal. I remember when Clemson played Texas A&M at home, Texas A&M had like a 17-play drive and kicked like a 20-yard field goal, and I looked at the person beside me and said, Clemson's winning. Because you don't drive the ball all the way down the field and kick a field goal and think, well, we're going to do that again. That's not happening. And, of course, I'm not even sure Texas A&M scored after that. South Florida picks it right back up. 15 plays, 55 yards, 547 with the ball, field goal. Florida gets it back, 13 plays, 57 yards, 739 with the ball, field goal. All of these long drives taking a million years, they're all field goal drives. If you're South Florida, you'll take it. But if you're Florida, you have to cash that in. And the longer this game went, and this is why this game confused me, I couldn't figure out if Billy Napier was, like, punting because he felt like his defense was good enough, or if he was punting because he felt like if he went for it, he wasn't going to be able to make it. Like, I never could figure out in the game, does Billy Napier think he's got a way better roster, or does Billy Napier not have confidence in his football team right now?
Napier, to me, coached like he did not have confidence in his team.
See, that's the confusing part, because Florida should have a better – you have DJ Lagway, who, by the way, pretty average effort, 23 of 33, but 222. He got out QB rated by Byron Brown, who also added 66 rushing yards in the game. And then we haven't even got to I saw somebody refer to it as bull spit.
I'm sorry, what now?
Bull spit.
Oh, bull spit.
I mean, you asked me yesterday about, does a team look well-coached or not?
Uh-huh.
Billy Napier is not coaching his team to morally neutral to spit in somebody's face.
Correct.
He's not coaching that.
No, that is not. That's not the tree that he's from.
But if your team does that, is that not a hallmark of a poorly coached team? Would we not say that that is a poorly coached, uncomposed team with 2 minutes left in the game, up a point, that you would not have the composure to go back to your huddle with like six plays left to play, and you win? You lack the composure to go back to your huddle. I do think that we would put that on a poorly coached program.
I mean, I hear you, but it is still one person's actions. You would hope that you could coach that out of someone, but I mean, I don't know if I'm going to paint the whole program that way because one guy did something gross like that.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's like a bad pro. I just think the lack of composure there.
Yeah, certainly a lack of composure.
I'm not talking like it's a dirty program or anything like that, for sure. Let's go to Randy from Spartanburg before we take our next break. What's up, Randy?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for getting in.
Yeah, I just got a question. I mean, we've been talking. I've been listening all week and talking about Antonio Williams' injury. But I haven't heard anything about how severe it is or any updates or when they think he might come back and play or if he's going to be able to play this week or next week or, you know, if it's a long-term type thing. Have you heard anything?
I have not. I mean, let me say this. I think there's optimism that Antonio will be ready to go. You did not sense a lot of skepticism from – now, Dabo Swinney is notoriously untrustworthy when it comes to injury timetables. And I would say he is even more untrustworthy, just like we all are, with hamstrings. Because to me, the fact that he and Khalil Barnes, talking about Williams now, and Khalil Barnes are dealing with hamstring injuries is worst-case scenario because hamstring injuries can linger, and then there is the residual of – even when they're healthy, are they healthy enough to do what they need to do on the back end? And are they mentally strong enough to have confidence that their body can do it? There are lots of questions that come along with a hamstring. If I had to guess, I would guess that, if at all possible, that Williams and Barnes would both play this weekend. But nobody's saying, and we likely won't know more until the official injury report comes out on Thursday, because Dabo was asked about Tristan Lee in a press conference today, and he said, we will do an injury report on Thursday. So that's all we got on injuries today.
Right. I didn't get to listen to the press conference today. I was busy. But the thing is, you know, even if he doesn't actually play that much, maybe if he can just suit up and be out there and maybe run a few plays or something, it can help the guys somewhat, you know what I'm saying, and give them a little spark, you know, if they see that he's back on the field for a few plays or whatnot. You know, trying to make some plays. You know, we got to start playing like we're mad. We got to start playing like we're PO'd. You know, we got to really, you know, show some. You know, get out there and show some grit and get on with it. You know, we just, like you said, we can't look like we did against Troy in that first half, like we didn't want to be there. We've got to. When they hit Georgia Tech and Atlanta, they need to get there and get a chip on their shoulder and you know, talk a little smack or something. They need something to spark them up.
I agree with you, Randy. Yeah, I agree with you. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. Sorry about that. We're up against a break here. I agree with Randy on that. I do think that maybe getting Williams and Barnes back. You mentioned we talked about sort of wins above replacement, production above replacement. It's not that Tyler Brown played poorly, but I do think there's a level of confidence that Cade Klubnik has. There's a level of confidence that the receivers have in general, just across the board, when Antonio Williams is a centerpiece. And so maybe that does spark him. Maybe getting Barnes back will do the same for the defense as well. Certainly you'll be hoping for that on the Clemson side. Hey, before we go to break, let me tell you about Nick Lavery Law, Clemson's local attorney. He's going to help you get what you deserve. If you've got a DUI, it's a devastating event, especially if you're a college student. It's also devastating for your parents back home because they're probably going to feel helpless. They don't know what to do. They want to support you. Nick understands all of that. He is going to give you the counsel. He is going to give you the representation. He's going to give you the service that you deserve. He's been serving Clemson, serving the upstate for more than 25 years. And listen, Nick is he is great people, incredibly generous with his time, with his resources. He's a valuable member of this community, a valued member of this community, and he's a valued member of our team here at the Roar. We love working with Nick Lavery, and you will too. Schedule your free consultation today at 864-654-3680 or visit online at nicklaverylaw.com. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Tom, hang on. We're coming to you. We'll also talk about some of the other pick'em games from the week in our final segment right after this.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
No one wants it to happen to them, but unfortunately, chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. You need Joe Robertson & Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson & Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson & Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality roofing, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. Put it all together, and it's easy to see why they're the upstate's premier roofing provider.
You can't cut corners when it comes to roof repairs and installation, so go with the trusted name in the upstate. Go with Joe Robertson & Son Roofing. Get started today by visiting them online at robertsonroofing.net.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
If you've been charged with a criminal offense, the legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Hey, it's Ian. Let's have an awkward but crucial conversation because you matter. Join Making My Mark with Kwok and Ben live from my school, Hamilton Career Technology Center, on September 11th, noon to 3 p.m. Together, we'll talk, listen, and help end the stigma surrounding mental health. Remember, you can never be replaced, and it's okay to tell someone if you're not okay. Don't stay silent. Come be a part of the conversation that can change lives.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176 or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Right now at Blue Ridge Heating and Air, get $400 off your system installation and a free bottle of our signature hot sauce. Pick fire on the mountain or furnace fuel. Just schedule your free estimate with Pete, our field supervisor. He'll help you select the right Armstrong air system, quality comfort you can trust, and make sure you lock in federal tax credits before they expire December 31st. Call Blue Ridge today, ask for Pete, and get your home ready for comfort, savings, and a little spice. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
I'm having such a great time tailgating, but now's the moment to go.
Go where? The game's an hour away.
I need the porta potty.
Thankfully, that's never a problem at Death Valley, unless the lines are too long.
Little John Portable Toilets have been serving Clemson football games for over 25 years. Their toilets are orange, which gets fans fired up for the game, and they are super clean. They even have restroom trailers. Whether construction or special events, Little John is the go-to. LittleJohnToilets.com. That's LittleJohnToilets.com.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join us this Friday night for the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Ingles.
This Friday night takes us to Pendleton High School, where the Bulldogs face off with the Powdersville Patriots in what's become a fun, heated rivalry over the past few years. Join us every Friday night this fall, live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
The Roar, now offering great sports talk around the clock. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
See my share of broken halos, folding wings that used to fly.
All right, final segment of the program. Thanks for joining us here on Out of Bounds today for a Tiger Tuesday. Thanks to Ashton Hampton for joining us and Tink Kelly as well. Really appreciate them. This hour of the program brought to you by our friends at PhD Weight Loss. In fact, I just, like, probably 2 minutes ago, I got a text from somebody asking some questions about PhD Weight Loss, wants to pass it along to somebody. Those are the type, I get those all the time, people talking about they've done the program, people asking, how can they, you know, I need it, my relative needs it, I got a friend that was asking me about some stuff, and you know, people just like, who is that company? And it's PhD Weight Loss. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team do a great, great job. The results speak for themselves. You can go on the website and see it. You can hear our testimonials here at the station with Mike, who's back in the Upcountry Fiber Studios today, or John or Don Munson, like so many people. I've got people who are on it right now, people who have done it before and are in maintenance, people who are thinking about starting. If that's you, if you're in that boat of people thinking about starting, thinking about a weight loss journey, I can't recommend PhD Weight Loss enough. It's natural. There's nothing crazy they're going to put in your body. You don't know what it is. It's just natural solutions for natural problems. And I can highly, highly, highly recommend the folks at PhD Weight Loss. Call 864. Do it today. 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Go to myphdweightloss.com. Let's go back to the phones. Tom the Buckeye joins us next as we begin to wrap up the show. What's up, Tom?
Hey, just calling in. Boy, an action-packed couple of weeks to start the college football season.
Yes, sir.
I'm really interested in your all's game. I'll be watching here on Saturday. Boy, it's going to be a season definer, I think, for both teams. We're going to find out a lot, but, you know, I was just thinking about how open the Heisman race is right now. I mean, some of these guys, I think everybody was ready to anoint Arch Manning. His stock's fallen. Maybe he can recover it, but is there anybody that's jumped out there? Maybe Castellanos or somebody like that? Who, you know, who's kind of on your watch list?
Two of the there's three on FanDuel today. There are three at plus 1,000. Two of them certainly have jumped into the race. Garrett Nussmeier, we knew. John Mateer, and how about this? Carson freaking Beck.
Are you serious?
Carson Beck, John Mateer, Garrett Nussmeier, all at plus 1,000.
I would say... I'm thinking about that. That is crazy to me.
Dante Moore at Oregon.
Dante Moore is there. And let me tell you something. They look like a wagon. Like they – I understand there's different strokes for different folks, but they have the capability of doing that to a hapless opponent. Mm-hmm. They're gonna put a hurting on some pretty decent competition. Like they looked a lot better than I expected that they were capable of looking offensively. So maybe Moore is that dude. He's a five-star coming out. I'll tell you what, and this is to Tom's question. I think you kind of have to have an uncomfortable answer at this point because even all of those guys have weaknesses that we have seen either in the very recent past or so far this year. Like John Mateer could have easily thrown four picks against Michigan, but he's also made a ton of plays. You know, you look at Garrett Nussmeier. One of the things I was most impressed by is he didn't throw one hand grenade per half against Clemson like he's done every game of his entire career that you just have to catch on defense. You have to catch the hand grenade. And then Moore we haven't seen a lot of. And Beck, we know, like, he left much to be desired last year. And still, I think, an unproven group of receivers that's very talented. So even the guys that are favorites, you're not really buying. So, like, if you ask me who do I feel good about betting on the Heisman? The answer is invest in the stock market. don't do it right now because I still need to see more from these guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. It just seems incredibly wide open right now, which it, I guess it is every year, but usually you have a couple of favorites jump out there. A thousand, that's the favorites right now? That's
about, on FanDuel.
Better than that?
The best odds that I can find anywhere are John Mateer at plus 900 and Garrett Nussmeier at plus 900. That's anywhere. Every other odd that I can find, I'm actually looking at sports books in North Carolina. So if you're driving across the state line today, you can throw that one down. Those are the only players better than 1,000. And like Ben said, FanDuel's where a lot of people go. 1,000's as good as you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm a big Jeremiah Smith fan, but I think that he's going to get covered too much this year to put up the kind of numbers a wide receiver would need to win the Heisman. Downs has been unbelievable on defense, but defensive players, unless they return punts or play both ways, they don't really have a chance. But, it just seemed incredibly wide open to me. And, yeah, I'm glad we don't play Oregon this year, except maybe in the Big Ten championship. Hopefully we can get there.
That very well may be the case, Tom. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. You know, it's a good question. I think John Mateer's got some momentum here, Ben.
Well, and I was just looking at their schedule trying to think what the storylines are going to be for him going forward. So think about this. Their next three games at Temple, Auburn, then they have a bye week, and then Kent State at home. Unless there's an upset, and I don't think there will be, so they're 5-0 going into the Texas game on October 11th. That's a toss-up at best, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he wins the game. He just has to play well. And you're going to have Arch Manning versus John Mateer. There's going to be a lot of Heisman talk. That's likely a College Game Day game. You're going to have a lot of eyeballs and a lot of attention on the Heisman and the two quarterbacks in that game. John Mateer's a better quarterback than Arch Manning. Maybe that could be that. Maybe they're closer by then. Who knows? But he's got that going for him. The next week at South Carolina, exact same thing. You don't have to be. You don't necessarily have to win the game. You just have to play well.
I would say you have to play better than Sellers. That game.
Yes. You can't let Sellers maybe have a Heisman moment and you not. But, you know, you don't know where South Carolina is going to be at that point. It's a very doable game. The next week, they host Ole Miss. They're going to win that game. They're going to win that game by double digits.
Uh-huh.
The next week, you're at Tennessee. You're going to win that game. We're more on Tennessee later. Texter asked us a question about that. Then you have a bye week. Then you are at Alabama. Alabama's defense is not stopping John Mateer unless there's a lot of injuries and things that happen between now and then, and it always can. Then you're hosting Missouri. And then finally you're at you're hosting LSU. Another highly talked about Heisman. My point there is there's going to be Heisman storylines in every major game you play from now to the end of the season.
It's a great point.
And you need that attention. You need to be a great player, which he is, and you need to be on a great team. I think Oklahoma is that. And you need that publicity, and he certainly got a lot of opportunity for Heisman publicity. That's the ingredients for a Heisman right there.
There's two different kinds of players that win the Heisman. There is too cool for school. I can't believe he's still in college. This guy should be starting in the NFL. Those guys win the Heisman, who just put up absurdly good numbers that don't even make sense. And there's air guitar. The Johnny Manziel, Robert Griffin, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, I mean, if we're being honest, there's air guitar. Just playing air guitar all game, just freelancing, doing whatever. John Mateer is air guitar. John Mateer is like, I'm going to do a little of this, a little of that. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to throw a ball between my legs. I'm going to sidearm that sucker, and I'm going to just, whatever the situation calls for, I'm just going to do it. And it doesn't always look pretty, but it gets the job done, and then sometimes it does look pretty. I think Mateer is the type of player that wins it. You know who else wins it? And there's a third type of player. And this player is 30-1. And there's only one of him in the entire nation, okay? And this is where, actually, if I were investing in the Heisman today, and I'm not, but if I were investing in the Heisman today, this is what I would invest in. I would invest in Lincoln Riley's quarterback. Jaden Maiava. I know they played Sisters of the Poor. Here is Jaden Maiava's numbers. 31 of 42, 707, 6 touchdowns. He is averaging 16.8 yards per attempt. They're not even letting him throw it, and he's averaging 353 yards. He has 353.5 yards and has thrown it 21 times a game in his first two games. When they actually let him throw the ball, he's going to throw it for 600 yards. And his receivers look really good. Now, again, I understand. We're talking about Sisters of the Poor here, Missouri State and Georgia Southern. So I don't want to get ahead of my skis. But in a year where we're not really sure, I go back to stereotypes and archetypes. The archetype of the Lincoln Riley quarterback, we've had multiple Heisman Trophy winners that are just, their best attribute is Lincoln Riley's quarterback. You're telling me I get Lincoln Riley's quarterback from 30-1 with this crop of Heisman contenders? Sign me up for that.
I tell you what, just send me your $100. I'll set that on fire for you, save you the trouble. You're right about Jaden Maiava, but he's played Missouri State and Georgia Southern.
That's a freaking good Missouri State defense, Ben. Junkyard Dogs.
He is, and Southern Cal's is a unicorn now. I mean, they're a Big Ten team that's on the West Coast. I believe I'm right in saying there's still more Heisman voters on the East Coast than the West Coast. That's the way it used to be. Southern Cal's the forgotten team. Half of us are asleep by the time their games come on, their home games. And he started too far behind when the season started, too. I mean, there's no hype for him. I think you've got to have a little bit of hype coming into the season to be a real candidate. I can't buy that.
No, I can't buy it either. Careers.arthrex.com. Go on the website. We talk about them all the time. It's a great place. Sprawling campus right there in Sandy Springs, Pendleton area. They are doing everything that possible. Surgical Technologies creating that to put everyone from weekend warriors to professional athletes back in the game. That's what they do. They're passionate about. They're passionate about their people. They want to invest in their people. They want to invest in you. Find out what they have for you, all the great benefits and amenities they have at careers.arthrex.com. Do you have a quick response? We got about a minute about Tennessee. The techs are asking if we're bullish on Tennessee.
Not yet. No, I'm not. I mean, Tennessee fans are – you've done exactly what – everybody who even those that were not, I mean, who were down on you thought you would do. You beat Syracuse and East Tennessee State. I mean, you scored a whole bunch of points. I wish Clemson would have scored 72, believe me, on Saturday. But, nah, I think it's way too early to be bullish on Tennessee.
Last year in the non-conference, Tennessee scored 69, 51, and 71 points against Chattanooga, NC State, and Kent State, and then they were booed relentlessly from every football fan for the next 2 months.
Yeah, but the Tennessee fans are coming out of the woodwork again.
Yeah, you know what? Enjoy that. But it's literally the same thing we saw last year when Nico was great till he played somebody. All the way down to, we're talking about archetypes. NC State is the 5-6 win ACC team that they beat last year. And Virginia was the 3-1 AZ team to be the year before that. It's ridiculous. All right, I want to thank Clemson for having us out here. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Walt is up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 50.